Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ and encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We've got 15 broadcasts going out to here to all the earth today. William has done a great work. I want you to come up and talk now about your daily work and what you're doing down there with these homeless people and so forth.
Okay, appreciate it, Brother Kelly. Well,
and introduce some of them to them.
Okay, too. Yeah, I will as I look around. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be with you this morning. Let me just share just a little bit about what goes on during the week. A lot of us who are here on Sunday mornings, we don't get an opportunity to see what's going on throughout the week. And over the past year or so, we've had a feeding ministry. We feed coffee and donuts around 9 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, we try and shut down our doors. And we have a Bible study that lasts for about an hour. And then after that, we serve another meal. And so we have quite a bit of traffic, a lot of new people, a lot of visitors, lots of opportunities in order to cast seed, in order to plant and water and to do the Lord's work. And specifically, this Bible study has been a great joy. I've had the opportunity to teach it, and God's really been working through that. He's really blessed it. We're growing in numbers. Some Fridays, I think a couple Fridays ago, we hit close to 35 men, and we also have women as well. And so it's really a cool, neat thing as far as the numbers are concerned, but also we're seeing a lot of growth and God changing some hearts. Just pointing out a few people, I'd like to point out Bobby in the back, who's helped out with the cooking, and the Lord has really answered a lot of prayers of ours. When I was asking and others were asking that God would send us some people.
If y'all are going, hold on a second. If y'all are going out, I want y'all to know Larry. Larry is the guard and the overseer down there. Bobby's the cook, and Fred just went down there. He's a van driver. I want y'all to know somebody brought a load of stuff and they're gone to get it. Excuse me.
As Brother Kelly has said, we are so blessed to have such amazing volunteers and servants. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know a church that does as much as this church does for such a small budget, and to have people volunteer and to do this for free, and as was mentioned earlier, to have people even pay to serve God on a full-time basis is really amazing, and it's a joy to be a part of it. We've gotten up to now, Bobby's making 4 commercial trays of food and casseroles and rice for the homeless, and it's really a joy to get to feed them something warm and hot. And it's really neat to see in Bobby's life how the Lord is really working powerfully. And he's a completely different person than when he first came to us. He struggled intensely with alcohol and sin and all kinds of things. And God has just totally changed his life. And we witness the power of God through him and many others. I'm thankful just looking out here, Jeff and Jonathan, they've been working in our kitchen. And they are servants of God and they help Bobby and others. And also recently, really some positive news, Eric and Ann, I think I mentioned them a couple weeks ago. Eric came to this church about a year ago. He was baptized, went back to New York, and he was reconciled with his wife. And recently, they were able to make it down here by the help of Paul Lockman. Really just an act of Christian service. We're so grateful for him. But Eric, this past week, got a job. And so we're really excited about that. A wonderful job at the farmer's market. And he's a cook at a Cajun Tailgaters restaurant. And so we're happy for him. But more importantly, they are growing in the Lord. And they're committed to this church. And there's a lot of fruit and people who are getting jobs and people who are being encouraged to do the Lord's work. So I'm really encouraged in what is going on. This past week, we had Brother Manuel came and visited. That was a lot of fun. He really has a fire for the Lord. He came and visited our Bible class. We had Brother Little John came and visited. So feel free, anytime you want to drop in at 10 o'clock, Tuesday through Friday, come join our Bible class. And it would be a joy to have you with us. And please, 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 please keep us in your prayers, because every Tuesday through Friday we have a great and tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel in order to cast seed with the hope that God would work and that He would bring people to Christ and save them. So please keep the daily works and operations in your prayers.
Yeah, Brian Disney does so much for this church. He is our maintenance man, and he helps feed downstairs. And see, there's always a danger of me forgetting somebody. Back here is another IP guy, Bond. He does great work. He's here working for nothing. Right here sitting is Lionel. Lionel was a drunk. He come here to get money from me to go buy some whiskey with, and I put him in a Bible study instead, and William taught him. How long since you had a drink, Lionel? A year. Isn't that wonderful? You got a year of sobriety. And Christiana. Christiana is a widow, and she went down because, you know, when your mate dies in life, it's a big cut out of your heart. And so she went down and started serving sin, and she's now repented, and she had a setback, but then she repented and really repented. And so this is the second month she gets a Social Security check. This is the second month that she's paid her rent instead of spending that money on dope and being out on the street. And so she now has a place to live, and she's off the street, living a godly life, coming to church, going to work here every day with us. This is wonderful news. Not only are we evangelizing the whole world, we're teaching some people right here. Now, we got to depend on people like you, Brother Lewis McJoy, and we got Brother Ken, because as we die off, we've got to have somebody that we can trust that we know won't sell this property, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The problem is that people all want to come over here and fix this place for us. And see, churches of Christ are autonomous. Every church of Christ owns itself, runs itself, makes its decisions for itself. This church right here decided years ago that we would have a representative form of government, and that's what trustees are. They're like senators, they're like congressmen, they make decisions for the church as a whole. And so we have bylaws, many pages of bylaws that we operate under. I don't handle any money because it's not right that I should handle money because I've been a thief in my past. And so I don't sign on a checkbook. We have Diana as one of the secretaries. Vicky's back there teaching the kids, one of the secretaries. I might tell them to write a check to somebody to pay a bill, but you see, anybody that ever wants to call us, you just call us and go downstairs with us and name a month, and we'll pull that file out, and we'll show you every dollar and every check and everything, what this money was spent on, and I guarantee you it's spent on lights, water, gas, telephone, preaching the gospel to the whole world by radio and feeding the poor. And that's it. Isn't that right, Diana? And she's the one that writes the checks. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. I haven't changed at all. From the very beginning, it's been my goal to preach the gospel to the whole world and feed the poor. We were feeding the poor, and this church got sued for $120,000, and the responsibility of this church fell on me. I became the minister that very week. And I went over here to a rich, fancy church, and I asked them if they'd please help us and hire a lawyer. And, of course, my reputation had preceded me, and they knew all about me being an outlaw in times past. And so they met me the next day, and they said, "No, we're not going to give you nothing." And I'm not stupid. In fact, I'm pretty smart. And I give them a chance to get the blood off their hands. They were building a $1 million building. They were spending $500,000 on their parking lot when I'm over there asking them for this. I said, "Here, let me ask you to do this. Just give us $500 to retain a lawyer and we'll pay for the lawyer." And they said, "No, we're not going to give you nothing." And I went outside the car and I cried. And I told God, I said, "I will not go beg these rich, fancy churches for money. You're going to have to supply the money. I'll feed the poor." I was already doing that, feeding the poor every Sunday. "I'll feed the poor and preach the gospel to the whole world." I took a college course called World Conquest. And it really impressed me that God wants the gospel preached to the whole wide world. And he's willing to let any church that wants to do it, do it. All you got to do is want to do it. And when I made him that promise, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know how he'd work it out. But I really meant it, that I'd feed the poor and preach the gospel to all the world. That Sunday, as the Lord lives, an old man walked in back here with a bib coveralls on and blue jean coveralls, and he said, "Can I get a receipt for my contribution?" And I said, "Well, I could write you a receipt on a letterhead." And he said, "Fine." He counted me out $10,000 in $100 bills. We hired a lawyer, beat the lawsuit, and then it's been nothing but uphill since. You know, I want you to put up the overhead on the website. I've got a piece of paper here that you can see after church gives every month. But back in 2006, our first month, we had 639 people hit on our website. We thought, "Man, my God, that's wonderful. We got 639 people coming to church here, plus us. Man, how great." Then the next month, we had 4,000 people come the next month. How'd they hear about us? Well, it had to be from the radio program. We had one radio broadcast on the radio at that time, and we started building a radio ministry. And the next, and that's January 2007. In December 2007, it had doubled. It had gone to 8,000 hits. Then the next year, November, we got hacked in December. I can't give you December. In November, it was 33,000. It had gone four times 8,000 is 33,000. In that year, it had quadrupled four times. In 2009, we got 62,000 hits. Put up last month.
Here's last month, we got 273,000 hit. Do you think we got some people going to church with us?
Amen.
I mean, it's not just us. That's just the website. All of these 273,000 people could have only heard about us on the radio. That's the only way they could have heard about us. Now, go on down here. You'll see that, look at hits per day as an example. Yeah, hits per day. 12,000 hits a day we averaged last month. 12,000 people coming to church every day. It's really a bunch of people doing 12,000 things. In other words, they take two sermons, they listen to two sermons and one written lesson, then that counts for three. And so we've got 12,000 things done every day at this church. Studying is going out that many times. Now look down here at the countries. We had 110 countries. Now what you've done is put up, see, in the first 8 hours of the first day of the month, I can see what is done on the website, and I can get an idea of what's done for that first 8 hours. Then after that first 8 hours, the numbers are so big, in it, stuff that's not important pushes off important things. So during the first 8 hours of this month, we got 1,466 hits while I slept from midnight to 7 the next morning. We had 263 unique sites, one of them being Google, one of them being Yahoo, one of them being Bing. And so that doesn't tell you how many people, but it gives you an idea that we had at least 263 people come to church while I was asleep. Now, if you look down here, there was 12 countries. While I was sleeping, we'll never know who these commercial people are, who these network people are, unresolved, unknown. These are people in China, India, Pakistan that are coming and studying, and they don't want their government to know who they are, so they're coming, they're hiding how they're coming. But we see the Czech Republic, we had 33 people. India, we had 17 people. European Union, 15. Turkey, 10 people. Taiwan, 9. Ukraine, 9. Soviet Union, 4. Gone down, there's two more. Germany, 11. And churches, one church came. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we were asleep the first night of the year. That goes on 24 hours a day, every day. 10,000 hits a day. It's amazing. Now, this shows you that first day, 31 people asked for written lessons, 25 asked for sermons. One downloaded all of the WMA files. In other words, we have really done some things that defeats the purpose if we were out for numbers. As an example, you can make one punch and download all of the written lessons. You can make one punch and download all of the sermons on Matthew. So people can put that on their MP3 player. So pressing right on the line, that's our website. Today, I have some gripes about Churches of Christ, and I'm going to criticize my own brethren. And I mean this in a spirit of love. There has been a confusion in the minds of the brotherhood that church means a building. And the church is the ecclesia, it is the body, the called out, the ecclesiastica of God. One of my friends who is a great Church of Christ elder, professor, he teaches at Harding Missions. He teaches all over the world. He sent me one of his new books on missions. I'm going to let you have it, Paul, when I'm through with it. But I'm going to read something to you. The elder with whom I was talking was a friend of many years. We stood in the shell of what was to be a large auditorium for a congregation that had decided to build its new structure in the area where members had moved over a period of several years. The steel girders stretched up imposingly well above the incomplete brickwork. This was an enormous Church of Christ. This is a building that's fit to hold 5,000, 3,000 people. I was somewhat overdrawn at the size of the structure because I just returned from 10 years of evangelistic work in Britain. Most of the church buildings there were small enough to fit comfortably into the steel shell. The whole building, Sunday school building, church building, and all of the other buildings, he said it just fit within that steel shell in that framework. I was somewhat ill at ease, but I had learned to be careful about passing judgment on people concerning matters of opinion. So it's their opinion whether they build a big church building or not. What the elders said, Philip, now that's this guy that wrote the book, that's his name, Philip, I hope we have done the right thing in building this, he said. You know, for many, many years, this church has used over half its contribution on missions and evangelism outside of Tennessee. But to build this, however, tilting his head back to look at the tall girders, we've had to cut back on our mission work, and it's done something to our spirit. No kidding. Anytime we start thinking that the church is a building, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, the Bible says. And so the church is not a building. You people are the church. We need y'all. I need you to become trustee next. I need you, Ken, to become a trustee. I need y'all to help make sure that nobody steals this place and that you work with William. William is a trustee. And he's part of our stuff here. I've got a gripe about preachers. I think that they have kowtowed to their membership and to their eldership, and that they preach 15 minutes and they read three verses and pontificate for the rest of the time. And I think any preacher worth his salt in the Church of Christ ought to insist on teaching for 30 minutes at the very minimum a lesson. We have witnessed the dumbing down of the Church of Christ in our generation, William. In our generation, in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, nobody could debate Church of Christ people. We knew the Bible better than anybody on the face of the earth. And it's not like that now. And the reason it's not like that now is that they teach at the college that he went to that you can't preach over 20 minutes because you can't keep their attention. Let me tell you something. We require high school kids to go to an IR math class, don't we? Then after that's over, we require them to go to an IR history class. And then when that's over, we require them to go to an IR English class. And then when that's over, we require them to go to an IR PE or something. There's always chemistry and something. All them classes are how long? They're an hour. What do you mean if you can keep the Bible going out and keep it interesting? All of you people tell me, man, the sermon's over before we ever start. So I've got a beef about building church buildings instead of preaching the gospel, evangelism to the world. I've got a beef about that. We in the Churches of Christ do not have missionary societies, but they're starting ones called Missions Resource Network, and they want people to give money to that. And all of that money has got to go pay for a secretary, an office, a Cadillac for the guy to drive. He's got to live in a big building. He's got to have airplane tickets to go all over the world to raise money and all that stuff. And missionaries get nothing. And it's garbage, and it's not the way to do it. The way to do it's like we're doing it. Paul travels the whole earth every year for us. He handles all the mission stuff that comes in on our web. So I've got a beef about building church buildings instead of preaching the gospel. I've got a beef with preachers about not preaching the gospel and preaching Cool Whip candy-coated lessons for 15 minutes. And I've got a beef with elders about being bishops and overseers and presbyters and not shepherds and pastors.
I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Alvin Jennings, one of my best friends, he wrote this book right here. He owns Star Bible and Tract Corporation. He's been a gospel preacher since 1955 when he graduated from Abilene Christian University. He hasn't changed one thing, and he believes in the last 55 years, 60 years that he's been preaching. He came over here and he told me, he said, "My God, Kelly," he said, "you got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." He said, "you're going at warp speed, man." He said, "you got 4 million people coming every year on the website." He said, "that's crazy." He said, "you got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." Well, he told me yesterday that he got that saying from Alvin Bryan. And Alvin Bryan, back in 1980, I was preaching soul-winning workshops. The Churches of Christ would come together. There'd be 5,000 people come to Tulsa and to White Plains, Tennessee, and to Pueblo, Colorado, and to California at Pepperdine. And we preached to thousands and thousands of people, and I was preaching these workshops. And Alvin Bryan is the one that thought up that saying, "we got to get some elders in there and slow that thing down." Well, that was just really a warning to me, because the next Sunday, a church that had been tickling us, they'd been promising us that they were going to help us and give us some money to do things here to help the poor and help have a better... They got plenty of money. In fact, they let us know that they were rich. What was your response to that, William?
Where in Scripture do we see that this is a good thing, right?
Where in the Bible can we see that that's a good thing, being rich, and being a rich, puffed-up church? Where in the Bible? Show me that somewhere in the Bible. And so the guy, one of the elders, he set me down back here in the room, and I sat down with probably about 10 of them, and he said, "we're a really rich church." And I said, "I'm sorry." And he said, "what?" And I said, "I'm sorry."
That's right.
And he said, "what do you mean?" And I said, "you'll never know the joy of depending on God alone.
Amen.
You'll always depend on yourself and your money. You'll never know the joy of depending on God alone." He said, "do you realize what this ministry here could be if we got our money behind it?" And I said, "just exactly what would that cost us, brother?" "Well, what it would cost us is God. We're depending on God. I don't want to depend on some rich church. I want to depend on God." He said, no, you don't understand." He said, "do you know Larry James?" And I crossed both of my fingers and put them behind my back, and I said, "I've heard the name." Now, I know all about Larry James. Larry James started a social ministry in the Church of Christ. That's the best social ministry on the face of the earth. They do more to help the poor and the homeless. They're called City Square now. Y'all have all heard of them. They do wonderful things. But the name of Jesus can't be mentioned. They take government money. They hire fruitcakes and all other kinds of people to work for them because they can't discriminate about anybody's sexual preference or anything else. We're not ever going to be a social ministry as long as I live. I pledge to you.
You pledge the same thing, don't you?
100%.
100%. We will never, ever take man's money and turn this place into a place that doesn't preach the gospel. He asked me, he said, "how soon before you can get elders in here?" And I said, "well, we're not going to ordain any businessmen." Now, that's what he was. He was a vice president of a big company. Well, he tells me, he said, "Larry James and I was best friends, and I moved to Houston, and when he started Central Dallas Ministry that's become City Square, he said, I didn't get to be a part of that, but we could do that here." And I said, "well, you want to do something here?" He said, "yeah." And I said, "well, you know, you could rent a couple of rooms, a couple of apartments. We take some better people that want to sober up, straighten up, put them in it." And so anyway, the opportunity became available with the people, Bobby and Don and some people. And so their money hadn't come in, so we did it on sale. And we don't have any money. We don't have any money at all. And we spent the money ourselves. And every month they're telling us, "oh, we're going to give you something, we're going to give you something, we're going to give you something. We're going to put you in our budget, but not yet, not yet, not yet." Let me tell you something. When we have qualified elders and shepherds and pastors, that's when we'll put in elders, when they're qualified. Not when they're businessmen and they give a lot of money in the pan. Giving a lot of money in the pan is not going to get you an eldership in this church. It's not for sale. So he realized, he said, do you realize what this church could be, man, if we got our money behind it? And I said, just exactly what would that cost us, brother? My guardian angel had from that church reported to me that when they had their meeting, when they went back that night, they said, the first thing we got to do is get rid of them radio broadcasts and that long-winded preacher that preaches an hour out of the King James Version of the Bible. Now, they're so stupid, the radio pays for everything that goes on here. You really don't think your contribution of $300 or $400 one Sunday, $500 or $600 another Sunday, $1,000 one Sunday, and $1,500 another Sunday, you really don't think that that pays for all this stuff that goes on here, do you? Where does the money come from? It comes from evangelists. People like these good people, these missionaries that come here that put their money in the pan because they want to see their contribution spent on broadcasting. These good people that are visiting us today, they pay for all the broadcasts to Europe through Russia, all the broadcasts to China and the Pacific Rim, and all the broadcasts to Africa. They pay for 3 broadcasts. Just with one check once a month. We've got a lot of people that come here that do that because they don't want their money spent on foolishness. Insofar as the King James Version of the Bible, William is teaching y'all out of a new translation, and that's for you people here. I'm preaching to the world. There are 6,100,000,000 copies of the King James Version of the Bible in the world. Somebody reading in Africa or China or Europe, they're reading the King James Version of the Bible. You had never seen any other translation in India, have you? No. That is not anywhere else. And so these people just really don't know how things work.
I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
PayPal, we want people to understand that PayPal on our website, when you give a one-time contribution, we put that in our budget towards the poor. When you give a reoccurring monthly contribution, as an example, $100 a month, we'll go hire another radio broadcast. So we want you to know how we do things.
And it's pretty neat. The first words that came out of Brother Kelly's mouth this morning were the punchline to this sermon. And so he had no idea what we were talking about, but it's neat how the Lord works. So let's just briefly look over 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we've discussed 1 through 4, and we're going to be discussing 5 through 9 this morning. Beginning in verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? And we discussed a couple weeks ago how God's great plan and His will and His desire for each one of our lives is maturity. And we talked about, for instance, in day labor. What if you had the opportunity to hire a little boy? If you were to do that, it would be pointless. Little kids are not able to do work. They're useless. They're not able to help to fix problems. They're not able to think in the ways that adults think. And when we think about war, children are not able to fight battles. And the Lord is looking for maturity. He's got many things that He wants to tell us. There are so many things that are infinite, all-powerful, mighty God wants to do in East Dallas, but He needs maturity. He needs people who can hear and comprehend and understand the things of God. And we discussed how this comes through craving pure spiritual milk, trying to study night and day, think on the Word of God until it becomes beautiful to us, until we delight in it. And then the promise is that God is going to work through our lives and that we're going to be just like that tree in Psalm chapter 1. We're going to start like a tiny little tree, and because we're taking in that water of His Spirit, and we're taking in the sunlight, we're taking in the Word of God, we're going to grow and we're going to be strong and we're going to produce fruit in whatever we do. And so our greatest need, your greatest need, Christian, your greatest need, father, mother, is to become mature, to become Christ-like, and to become useful to our Heavenly Father. And as we continue this morning, take a look at 5 through 9. And so Paul puts forth a question. He says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." And so if I could draw your attention to this question, which Paul puts forward here at the beginning. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? And so the question put forward is, what are we to think of church leaders? What are we to think of Christians? What is their responsibility? What is their standing? And if we were to broaden that just a little bit, what do we think of man? What is man? What is a Christian? James puts forward a similar question in the 4th chapter of James. He says, "What is your life?" in James chapter 4, and the Bible answers that. He says that we are a mist. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And this is the way God views our life. He sees us as being here for just a split second and then leaving the very next minute. If you can imagine smoke, trying to grab hold of it, trying to seize it, trying to capture it, it's impossible. And that's the way the Lord views our life. And we are called to have this same understanding. And we are called to reflect on these deep and serious life questions as to what is your life? And this knowledge is so very powerful. If we can understand that we're here today, that we're just like the grass, that we're just like a tent that's here one minute, and then we're rolled up in the night and quickly gone, it should cause us to live differently. It should cause us to live differently in light of this present crisis, which 1 Peter presents to us, that the world is passing away. It's going to be burned up. So what kind of people ought we to be? So in the same way as we reflect on this question, what is Apollos? What is Paul? What is man? The answer is powerful, and it helps us in order to be better Christians and servants of God. And so let's briefly look at the answer here to this question. In the middle of verse 5, he answers the question. He says, "We are servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each." And so Paul is clear in his language. He is deflecting all glory and honor, and he's pointing to God. He's saying, "We're just servants. We're just slaves. There's no glory that is to be ascribed to us because of anything that we've done." And that's the very thing which Brother Kelly said at the beginning of his message to us in his report to the church, that the many wonderful things that happen at this church, we have no power to do these apart from the finger, apart from the power of the living God. And so when we behold these things, when we see God working in power in this neighborhood, we need to be so very careful not to lay our hands upon that ark, not to take or ascribe God's honor to ourselves. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit more. And so Paul answers the question with more detail. In verse 6, he says, "I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." And there's the key verse. Paul, he planted, just like a servant. He did his job. He did what was commanded. He did what he was entrusted to do. Apollos came after him and planted and built on that foundation of the Lord. But the emphasis, the weight of the text is all upon God. He is the one that gives the increase. He is the one that gives the growth. And so this is what our text is focused on this morning. And this is what God wants us to consider as we look at this scripture. And so as we continue in verse 8, we read, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's field, God's workers. You are God's field, God's building." And so this is one of the greatest challenges of our day. As Brother Kelly mentioned, he's got a few gripes with the American church. He's got a few gripes with the way rich and powerful churches trust in the arm of the flesh. If you remember that great battle against the Midianites, when God chooses a servant, the weakest of the weak, Gideon, and then he narrows it down to 300 soldiers, and the Midianites are described as being as numerous as the sand of the sea. As we reflect upon this, God makes it very clear that he was not willing to work whatsoever if he was not to work in a way that would make it abundantly clear that he himself gained salvation for Israel. And this is the way God works. And I believe passionately with all my heart that one of the reasons why God withholds his blessing, one of the reasons why God does not work in churches as much as he could, is because we would rob him of his honor and we would take credit for the very things which God has done among us. And so we have the opportunity to trust in the arm of the flesh, or we can trust in the living God. And so I'd like to turn to Psalm 61, and I'd like to look at what David says here. Psalm 60, starting in verse 11. And so this is outlined here in this psalm. Beginning in verse 11, David cries out, he says, "Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man." And let that just settle in. Let that soak into our hearts. Vain is the salvation of man. And we need to understand that, and we need to let that become a reality in our lives. And this psalm expresses the desperation of mankind. Continuing in verse 12, "Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go forth, O God, with our enemies." And so David is experiencing a time when God has stepped back. He has left the armies of Israel to themselves. And it's pretty clear when God steps back. There's no victory, there's no power, there's no joy, there's no blessing. His presence has departed. It's pretty clear, and David is experiencing this. And in this time of crisis, in the midst of defeat, David has some options. He can run to man for salvation and deliverance, or he can call upon the name of the living God. And we are faced with these two options, and we need to consider these things. So look at David's response. As we stated, David's cry was that the Lord no longer goes out with our armies. And he is presented with two options, and he responds in the following way. "Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of men. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down the foes." And so we too are presented with these two forks in the road. Brother Kelly mentioned that many churches have departed, and they have gone down this road, and they're trusting in gorgeous, beautiful buildings and entertainment and things like that in order to advance the kingdom of God. But we, the people of God, need to trust in the living God in order to supply the increase, and understand that apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And we are tempted, just like Israel, Something pretty amazing to reflect upon is that the Old Testament was written for us. These stories about Gideon, these stories in the Psalms that we read, these were written for our benefit and they relate to us. And so we need to understand these things and look to Israel, who was tempted so many times from all different directions to trust in Egypt, to trust in other things, to trust in things that were not God at all. And the Lord relates many times words like, "Is it because there's no God in Israel that you have turned to inquire from the God Beelzebub, the God of Ekron?" And the same thing is true today. Many look for salvation in other places. And as we've stated many times before, the church is not in need of beautiful buildings, of entertainment, of money. We're not in need of help from men, but we need this God of the increase. We need this God to supernaturally bless and to provide a harvest. And He is the one that we must turn to in the midst of this battle. And in the words of Moses, as he relates in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, these beautiful words. He says, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." And so that is, I believe, the heart of this congregation. I believe that's the heart of Brother Kelly. And that is so very true. If God's not in it, if we don't have Him, if we don't have His power, His blessing, His presence, Him going before us, working in our lives, it's all rot. It's all worthless. And I don't want anything to do with it. I might as well go back home and we might as well shut these doors and move on. And so in this chapter, God's name, His power is magnified. And at the same time, in order for God to increase, we too must decrease, and we must know our place, and we must be humble like Gideon. We must be humble like Paul and know our place. Let me just quote here from Revelation. Here's a nice parallel text. Revelation chapter 11. This is the 24 elders. We have this amazing scene of worship in the presence of God and in heaven. The 24 elders, they surround the throne and they give these words. They say, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And notice here, there's no footnote about, and oh, by the way, Paul did a really good job over in Corinth. There's no mention here. All glory, all majesty, all praise is given to God alone. And this is the mindset that we've got to have. We've got to look to Scripture and we've got to see that it's all about God. As we look at the Holy Scripture, it's not a man-centered book. It's God-centered. It's about an awesome God who has done wonderful things and is doing wonderful things and has promised to continue to do supernatural, wonderful, powerful things in the world today. And so let us look briefly here at some concluding thoughts. And so as we reflect upon the power of God this morning, that we're called to plant, we're called to water, we're called to simply show up and trust God and obey. And if we do those things, God has promised in His Word, He is so very faithful, so powerful, He is going to supply the increase. The idea is that God is going to act supernaturally and display His power, and He is going to change people's lives. In my ministry here, there's been people that I've just had to give up on. I've seen the utter hopelessness. I've seen that people are too far caught in their sin. They're blind. They can't see. There's utterly no hope. And I've had to give those people to God and say, "I can't do anything with these people, but God, I need you to work. I need you to change their hearts, soften their hearts. I need you to work through them." And He's done it. He has done it through many people at this church, and it is an amazing thing to witness and to view and to rejoice. And Paul is just so full of joy, and we experience that same joy the more we walk with God and experience His power. And so in view of what we've studied this morning, This should lead us to have a sense of boldness. We're just servants. We're weak. We don't have the ability to do anything apart from God supplying the increase, apart from Him working. But we know that if we trust Him and obey Him and do His work, that He is going to come forward. And so consider Paul once more. He knew his weakness. He knew the depravity and the wickedness of Corinth, but yet he knew his God and he knew his power, and that gave him the audacity and the boldness to march right into Corinth and to preach the Word of God and start planting and start watering. And that's the very thing that the Lord is calling us to do, to continue doing these things and to not give up, but to continue to trust Him. As we reflect on the promises of God, John 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and show and so prove to be my disciples." This is the will of God. It's stated in Scripture that He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be successful. This is His church. He is the head. He is all powerful, and He is going to make sure that there is glory in the church in all generations, and He is going to make sure that the church is successful. We simply have to trust and obey. And then reflect on this scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And I think this is a wonderful summary as we give this report this morning, as we read the following here. "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so this is the message which the Lord gave Paul in Acts chapter 18 when He appeared to him in a vision. He told him, don't give up. Keep on speaking. Keep on preaching the gospel. And this is what we need to hear this morning. We need to stay with the program. We need to keep loving and serving the poor. We need to keep preaching the gospel. We need to keep trusting God. And we need to start expecting God. He's done miraculous things. You've heard about a little bit of what God has done this morning. I believe that God is just getting started. He saved the best to last. He is the great author of history. And He is on His throne. And He wants to do things which can't be comprehended in our mind, in this community, in this church. He wants us to grow and progress and use us in most wonderful and powerful ways. And so it's a wonderful time to be with the Lord. It's a wonderful time to be with our family. It's a wonderful time to reflect on all the many things which God is doing. And we're so grateful and thankful that you're here. If there's anyone here this morning that is not a Christian and wants to put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ is a mighty God, and He is mighty to save, and He died for our sins in order that we might not have to go to hell. And if you trust Him, if you believe Him, if you want to have your sins washed away in baptism to receive the Holy Spirit, that invitation is always open at the Main Street Church of Christ. If there's any other prayers that you need, any other request, we want to invite you to come forward as we close this morning's service and we end with our invitation song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.